This is an episode for the visionaries, for the benevolent radicals, the solution thinkers among us, for those who have ideas that are different than their family members' ideas, or perhaps their peers, or the other parents around them with children the same age. Being ahead of the crowd is no easy task. It takes courage and bravery. It takes being able to deal with not everyone really getting who you are or where you are going with this while you're doing it. It's for the modern day Einsteins or Shirley Chisholms or Jane Goodalls or Harriet Tubmans. Those who, whatever their scope, are internally filled with solutions and the tenacity to move forward with whatever it is that they do. It's encouragement for you and for all of us who have just been through and continue to be in a great period of disruption. This is a solution-making moment we are in history. And in this episode, I'll also tell some stories of stupid things I've done by way of encouragement. So sit back and enjoy. It's intended to give courage and heart to help you know that you are not alone, revolutionary. You are not alone, and you are needed and welcome here now.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimée Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition.
Hi, welcome everyone. Before I dig into a story, I'd like to start with a shout out to Melissa. This week, she reached out saying, "Sitting down with a warm, creamy drink, thanks to you, Aimée. I haven't listened to many yet, but I'm really glad your podcast is around. If I could greet the darkness the way you do, winter would be so much easier for me. Thank you for the reminder to enjoy the turning inward and the slowing down." Thank you, Melissa, for reaching out to say so. I love reading your comments, friends. Thank you for those of you who have taken the time already to reach out and for those who will do so. Okay, a story. One holiday season when I was in high school, I got it into my head that I would like to go caroling. The idea struck me at about 7:30 p.m. on a Friday night in December while I was sleeping over at one of my best friend's house. I had never gone caroling before, and it just seemed like such a cheerful thing to do. It also felt romantic to me, like something from a bygone era. I missed that era. I could see it so clearly in my mind's eye, the big, full woolen skirts and coats of the time. Was I wearing a bonnet, too, in my mind's eye? At least where I grew up in the suburbs of Minnesota, never once did we have carolers come to our house to sing for us. But I thought, wouldn't that be cool if we did? Wouldn't it be such a joy to open the door and have a group of people spreading Christmas cheer? I think that's how I got it into my head one year to be the Christmas cheer. I tried to convince my best friend to come with me. Even if no one else is doing it, we could. Just one song, I pleaded with her. She wasn't even moved in the slightest. Basically, she was like, no way I'm doing that. But I thought it sounded fun. So I decided to go alone. I felt like if I didn't, I would regret it in some way. It was hard to explain then, but when I look back on it now, I feel like it was a craving something. Like I was craving something with meaning, something with depth, something, in this case, given my vivid internal images, something I had probably done in another lifetime. It was a cold night around 8 p.m. when I got out there. The ground was covered in snow, as it always is in Minnesota this time of year, or it used to be, anyway, when I grew up. I put on my coat, boots, hat, mittens, and walked out her front door, crunching on the packed snow of the street and breathing out wafts of steamy white air in the otherwise silent suburban night. There was a street that ran perpendicular to my girlfriend's that started across from her house. I walked toward it and knocked on the first door of the first house I came upon. When one middle-aged man came to the door, I started to sing. I can't even remember what I sang. What I do remember was that it sounded terrible. I was totally off key and my voice crackled from nerves and, well, maybe I couldn't really keep a tune. I don't know. All I ever did was sing along to the radio, not sing in public, and certainly not alone. Needless to say, the end result was not the cheery, romantic vision I had in my head. In my mind, I definitely held a fur muff. In reality, I was in my green guest jeans, long underwear, and a leather jacket. And the sound of my solo, off-key singing was echoing off the concrete of this man's doorstep and overhang. Still, nowhere in my bones did I think, I'm just going to stop singing and run away now. I was like, oh my God, this sucks. But it's only a song. It's not that long. I can do this. And maybe also thinking, this is a stranger. I will never see him again. The man must have thought he woke up in the Twilight Zone. Solo teenage girl singing him a Christmas carol on a random Friday night. Certainly, he probably thought I did it on a dare or that I was drunk or something or that I had friends waiting in the bushes. Not so. My best friend was snuggly inside her house down the street, not even looking out the windows to witness my escapade. I was also totally sober. I don't remember much about that man's appearance, except for the slight, definitely amused smile he had on his face as I gave my interesting performance. At the end of my one carol, I smiled, waved, and then sped off into the night, laughing all the way. I made a run back through the crackling snow for my girlfriend's house. But here's the thing. Even though I completely bombed, it was an exhilarating and deeply satisfying experience. I still remember it fondly and with chortles, as you can tell. But even that night, I was like, okay, that didn't go how I pictured it in my mind, but still, I did it. I didn't just sit around thinking it would be fun and a good idea. I did something about it. Namely, I got clear on the fact that I don't own a fur muff or long woolen skirts, nor do I have a friend who would be interested in caroling with me, and I can't, or at least couldn't then, sing a tune. Still, I'd do it all over again. I'm telling you this story for courage, in case you need it. I want you to remember it and think on it after all the other things I'm going to say in this podcast. Toward the end of every calendar year, I frequently start to take stock. And I'll have some questions at the end of this episode if you'd like an easy way to do that for yourself too. This year, one of the things that I'm cognizant of is that we've all, collectively, as a planet, recently been through a time period that I refer to in my mind as the Great Disruption, known to most of us also as the COVID years. It's produced things like the Great Resignation, as this time period has been dubbed, with so many people making lifestyle changes and refusing to go back to work as it was before, with many people recognizing that with some minor changes, they could actually realign their lives so that they don't have to work 40-hour work weeks and spend hours and miles and gas in the car to get someplace to do said job. Recognizing that they could make changes that would allow them to have a life beyond the 9-to-5 plus transport life they had. That's just one example of the many cultural shifts we've seen arising. There are so many. It's also produced little changes, disruptions in routine that have resulted in better, more aligned actions for many people I know. I've had friends say to me, "We're not doing the big family thing for the holidays as we did in years past. We are doing Thanksgiving as a small family now, and it feels so good not to be stuck under that previously weighted obligation." Or, "We're traveling this year for Christmas because that's what we want more of in our lives," etc. We've all, the whole planet wide, been through a period that has forced us to see on so many levels where the errors were in the way we were doing things and where and how we can make choices to rectify that. For example, I remember when the pandemic first started, I felt this urgency to make changes that my husband and I had wanted to make for a long time. Specifically of how keenly he and I have both always felt about plastic consumption and our plastic consumption. It's always bothered me that we get these giant jugs of laundry soap. Some of the articles my husband and I have seen over the last few years have caused us to wonder if the things we put into the recycling are even being recycled. So something about the world shutting down made those changes more urgent for me. I felt like we need to make these changes now. So we started getting these sheets of laundry soap that come in a cardboard box and go into our washing machine with each cycle. You take a small rectangle sheet out of the box, that's the soap, and you put one in with every load. That's the laundry soap, as I said. We also got this sort of laundry egg thing. It's hard to explain, but it's not a giant bottle of liquid laundry soap. I'll put a link to these things in the show notes if you're interested. I even tried bar soap for dishes too, because I had already experimented with dish soap that came in wax tubes and I just didn't like it. I loved the bar soap, dish soap. My husband didn't, but I'll put a link in case it interests you. In any case, the events of society shutting down all over the world forced us all into a giant pause where we were able to reflect, for good or bad, how we had been operating, and make the changes that we saw fit. That's what we've all been through, and the changes and needs, systemic and otherwise, that we've all been becoming acutely aware of. On a personal level, this summer, fall, I had two conversations happen to me in which I received one-word gems that enlightened me and have been a guiding force for me ever since in my own life and how I understand the role I personally play. During the first one, I was talking to a friend of mine about education in this country, about educating our children, about what we thought was important and our visions for implementing these. She told me of a discussion she had in which she described herself to a family member. She said to them, "Look, I'm very radical, and I'm going to continue to get more and more radical the older I get." She said it in this unabashed description of herself to help another understand her. When I heard it, when she told me, I was like, radical. I'm totally radical too. I would have never put that together. I know it sounds funny since I'm a professional psychic and my business and work in this world is turning others onto their own internal guidance. It's probably obvious to many that I'm radical. But seriously, when looking at your life through your own eyes, it's very hard to see yourself, especially the glaring qualities that others notice or would say define you, because they're so normal for you. It took me about 30 years to understand that the way information came to me about the future when someone was speaking was unusual and that it didn't happen to everyone else. And that is a story that I told in episode 2 of the Own Your Intuition show, in case you're interested. So, through my girlfriend's description of herself, I discovered that I was radical. That word fit me also to a T. The second was a 5-minute conversation I had with a friend of mine who I rarely see. She happened to be on the island where I live for a small window of time, and we ran into one another. In that way, that is so easy for two people who are aligned in so many ways. We each gave each other the 5-minute dish on what was going on for each of us right now. It was one of those uber juicy, like, look, this is up for me conversation. It was like, in a 5-minute nutshell, these are the epiphanies I've recently had. They came this way. And now I am contemplating / moving forward in this way due to this understanding. A brief but uber deep conversation, not just like, yeah, well, we've got these summer plans. When I told her my bit about what I was contemplating and realizing I needed to move forward on, she leaned back and smiled at me and said, "That's right. You're a disruptor too." Disruptor. Just like the word radical, the word landed on me in a moment that felt like finally turning a mirror around and seeing your face. I was like, I am a disruptor. Thank you for that word. Yes, that is what I am. This Own Your Intuition episode is certainly for you if you resonate with these words. If you understand that you are out ahead of or to the side of the crowd in some way, looking in and having such a clear understanding that the way of the crowd is not the way to go. And often, when you are sitting in this position, you see so clearly and glaringly the things that aren't working within the crowd, that those who are in the program, in the crowd, can't see. or you see solutions that are needed from the angst that is being created by the status quo. However, even if you don't consider yourself a radical disruptor, and that's fine, we all have our roles to play, but no matter who you are, we've all been disrupted and have made little or big changes recently because of that. I have a girlfriend who is a mathematical whiz. A few months ago, we had this discussion where she told me she had been thinking about statistics and how we compute things like possibilities. She told me that in mathematical equations, in some cases, the answer is actually a range, not a precise number. She was connecting it with the realization that in a classroom, the more we allow for unique brains and experience and include in the classroom, allowing students to teach too from their own wisdom, we could arrive at a mathematical equation that produced an infinite number of possibilities. This is all versus the standard curriculum protocol that we currently operate in, with no breathing room for different brains, cultures, and experiences. In this equation or example, part of the understanding is that not every brain works the same, that not every brain can even learn the same way. Instead of trying to rope the divergent thinkers into the whole, the dyslexic, ADHD, autistic, for example, instead meeting them where they are at, allowing them to propagate their own genius and contribute to the whole, literally and mathematically speaking, it would create an answer with a range of infinite possibilities. Isn't that mind-blowing? It was for me. When she told me that, I felt like my mind was blowing up in a good way. You know, like a mental explosion with tons of scintillating bright pieces and space afterward, where I was just silently like, whoa, world. And then I also felt like so many existential questions were answered within her math equation. Like, that's why there are no two of us the same. Wow, it is all possible. Infinite possibilities. Doesn't that sound like something our world is shouting for right now? I keep asking her to write an article on this so I can spread it around. She says it's all still percolating, but stay tuned, people. She has got some revolutionary insights to share, and when they are available, I will be spreading the word. In this same conversation, my girlfriend told me, I've been running the numbers on the algorithms of Instagram. You can see, obviously, that she is a mathematical whiz. That particular sentence construction would never, and I feel I can safely use that word, never, which I hardly use, it would never come out of my mouth, other than quoting her, of course. It is quite literally something that would not occur to me, nor would I have the mathematical ability to do so. You see, it takes all kinds. In any case, in my words, what she discovered was that places like Instagram and Facebook, etc., because they are built on showing like things to like people, for example, people of a certain viewpoint see more posts or even only posts in which their particular thinking or reasoning is touted, that doing this actually diminishes possibilities. Like it, by nature of only showing similars to similars, narrows the pool from which we can draw solutions, dividing rather than creating possibilities. also mind-blowing. So, infinite possibilities. That is what we need right now. I am a disruptor. I am a radical. Maybe these aren't your words, but they really suit me. I was born to do things in a different way. To tell you the truth, I don't often notice this because the way that I do things is so natural for me. But if I ever have any doubts, I just have to picture my dad's face while I am telling him of my ideas and the things that I am incorporating into my own or my family's life. I think for his part, although my dad is very liberal, he's also traditional in some ways. He does a great job of seemingly being very open to the way that I am and do things, to my independent thinking. But even so, my ways are not the ways that he's lived. I guess why I'm telling you all this is because I want you to have permission to be radical too. And I want you to know that, especially if you are, it's okay if the people around you don't totally get you or wouldn't have thought of that course for themselves. It's not their course. This is Aimée Cartier, and you are listening to the Own Your Intuition show. And today, we are talking encouragement for those among us who are brewing solutions, large and small, for this world. I have this very radical friend on Instagram named Adriana. Her handle is @artofloving. She framed it brilliantly a few months ago. Essentially, she had a post saying something akin to, if this is you, if you carry this role of radical disruptor, those are my words, but you can't expect everyone to get you. So literally, just stop expecting that. I think she expressed perfectly this idea that if you are forging a new path or reworking one that is currently operating yet defunct, or brightening one that exists so that others can see it, it's par for the course that you are going to get some dumbfounded stares or people that are just like, huh, at first, or maybe always, depending on who they are. What I'm trying to underscore here is that it doesn't mean you are on the wrong course. I have another friend named Kim who is a dean at a community college. She recently told me about this conversation she had during a meeting of a statewide council of organizations and community and technical colleges that serve adult learners. One of the college's vice presidents, who is a liaison to statewide leadership, asked the group, "How can we support you in your work?" She spoke up. She said, "As institutions of higher education, we have publicly acknowledged that it is a priority and that we are committed to leading with racial equity. And yet, we continue with standardized testing and assessments, even though the research shows that these practices are inequitable, biased, and potentially harmful to the students that we serve. So if we're committed to leading in this way, we need to walk the talk. If we are saying that we are leading with anti-racism initiatives, we can't continue these practices that perpetuate systemic racism. We know in some circumstances, hands are tied by federal regulations and policy. So we need our leadership to leverage their position at the local, state, and federal level to push for change." When she described to me the story of what happened, she told me how when she put that question to the group, her heart started beating wildly. She probably started sweating more. She felt intimidated speaking up in a group full of vice presidents, and yet she knew that she had to speak up. These tests are used to determine all kinds of things, from how programs are funded, grades, and how students are promoted from one level to the next, teacher effectiveness and hires, and so on. And yet, these tests, what's in them, and having to teach to them, also prevent teachers from meeting students where they are at. Kim said, "A whole host of things contribute to inaccurate results, and yet we continue to use them to make decisions. And we wonder why certain institutions are disproportionately serving certain privileged white sections of the population. The system and the assessment pieces in place are stacked against them." The result of her speaking up? He agreed. And he asked them, the council members, like my girlfriend Kim, who are the experts in their field, to come together to write a position statement on this. That led to a position statement from the vice president that supported them in moving forward with the conversation. A committee was formed to work with state-level advocates to organize conversations at the federal level around pushing for change. Take it from Kim. She said, "It's easy to start a conversation, but you have to keep it going. It takes putting yourself out there. It takes putting yourself in a place where you're going to be uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable speaking up in a room full of vice presidents, but this guy was listening, so I had to. Find your allies and keep going." It takes courage to do what you know you must, even when, and especially when, you are out ahead of the crowd. You too can go Christmas caroling alone, so to speak, or speak up in a board meeting full of people who outwardly have more power than you, or design and implement a program or something no one else is doing. And if that is your role, know that you must. I know plenty of benevolent, radical disruptors in my life, though I feel that, like me, many of them don't even know that's what they are. That's because they've just been living in a way that feels normal and right for them, and they're sometimes very unaware of how different that is than the road more traveled, especially if they live in a place like I do that is full of radical disruptors. You don't notice how different you are until you sit down with your family and try to explain what you do or are doing to them. I remember a good friend of mine telling me once that I was punk as heck. Those are not the exact words he used, but that is a radio-friendly version. I was like, "What? I don't even like punk music. I've never liked punk music. It makes me want to pull my hair out. I'm a classical music listening kind of gal." He was like, "Dear, you are as punk as they come. Punk means you do things the way that you see them. You stay unwaveringly on that course, even when others around you do not get it." In case it's not obvious, this episode is meant to be encouragement for my fellow punk as heck, benevolent, radical disruptors and visionaries. The moment we are living in time is like no other. Certainly not like any of the ones that I've experienced, but I think also because of what is happening on and to the planet, because of years of living in a throwaway culture, it is a big moment. I'll be honest, there are times when I have been like, "What the heck was I thinking coming back to Earth at this time? Why the heck?" But more often, I am guided by what I see as my role of inspiring as many others as possible to follow their own inner knowing. Because when you do so, when you follow the insight inside, solutions are available at lightning speed. You do not need a four-year degree or a doctorate. You need only to close your eyes or keep them open, to listen to the voice inside. The idea or image that comes to and through you. And equally as important, follow through. This world is in need of benevolent, radical ideas right now. It's calling all the change makers or the disruptors to step up and stand out, even if at first you are going it alone. You don't get a vision without the ability to make it possible. We don't each have the same vision. I've had the vision of a lot of speaking engagements in 2023, one in which I am telling stories to inspire others to trust themselves in as many places as possible. And please reach out to me if you've got places where you think I would fit perfectly as a speaker. I'm filling up my calendar for next year now. I also get it that even so, even with a vision, it can be distracting to live in the mundane world. I know. I've got kids who always need snacks, floors that need a sweep, etc., etc. But even if little by little you move forward, little by little you move forward. There is this man whose work I love named Mark Allen. He's built a multi-million-dollar high-quality publishing company called New World Library from the ground up, from not having $2 to scrape together to buy a coffee to having a successful multi-million-dollar company that is positively influencing many people. In addition to the weekend, he takes Mondays off for visioning and rest. He doesn't have a crazy busy schedule. His employees are shareholders in the company and get bonuses and shares of the profits. All things I love about him. He's like a sane multimillionaire whose actions reflect his care for others and are driven by his own mystic and inner knowing. I love this. I heard him say once about his journey building his publishing company, something like, before you do it, everyone thinks or says things like, you'll never make it work. Or who are you to think you can pull this off? Or you can't even buy yourself a coffee. Then when you do pull it off, they say, oh, well, it's easy for you because you've got such a big business or so much money. No matter what anybody says to you while you walk your road, it's up to you. It's not the job of someone else. It's also not the job of an influencer or someone else who you perceive has more power to do the thing. If you've got a vision, a passion, something that you feel you know and must do, it's your role. I have a girlfriend who said to me not long ago, my dad is starting a podcast. It makes me a little sad, actually, because I think it's so unlikely that anyone is going to hear it. But I was like, who cares? It lights him up. If he influences one person positively, heck, even if he just influences his own person positively, it will not have been for nothing. It's up to all of us. And it's okay to make mistakes as you go. To encourage you in this way, I'm going to tell you another story about something stupid that I once did so that you feel free to make mistakes. This is Aimée Cartier, and you are listening to the Own Your Intuition show. And today I am telling stupid stories about things I've done. This one happened around the same time as the caroling story. But don't you worry, I've made plenty of mistakes between then and now. In high school, I had a girlfriend named Jasmine Locke. In fact, she is also the girlfriend who had zero interest in caroling on a cold winter's night. She is still my friend now, and she's also a visionary in her own right. We were frequently at each other's houses. One evening, she left my house just as it was getting dark. A minute or so after she walked out the door, I followed her out. I lived in a townhouse, so there was this little parking spot where people who were visiting parked. As I walked out the door, I saw that she was backing out of her parking spot. I think I was going to get the mail because I walked down by the mailboxes, which were in front of her, meaning she had to pass them on her way out. When her car pulled closer, I stepped in front of it, essentially blocking her from leaving. Then I proceeded to dance. I was dancing around wildly, doing all sorts of crazy stunts. I was probably singing too, but her windows were closed, so she couldn't hear me. For several minutes, not just seconds, minutes, mind you, I danced in front of her car, making up one stupid move after another. Several minutes into my show, I got a glimpse of the person in the driver's seat. Remember I said that it was dusk? It was so dark, I couldn't really see into the car. But somewhere, minutes into my show, I got a glimpse of a person that did not look like Jasmine in the driver's seat. I squinted, slowing down my show to see who was driving the car. That's when I noticed it was a man, not Jasmine at all, but a perfect stranger of a man. And I had been standing in front of his car, dancing wildly for several minutes, blocking him from leaving. He had a huge grin on his face. Mortified, I casually, as if one could do such a thing casually after the completely no-holds-barred affair I had just been doing in front of a perfect stranger for many minutes, stepped aside to let him pass. He was laughing and waving as he went by. Then I ran inside to call Jasmine. So, you gals and guys, go get it. Who cares if you make a fool out of yourself from time to time? You might even thoroughly surprise and delight another human being by your foolish and interesting ideas. I don't know if that man remembers this happening to him, but I bet it was memorable for quite some time. It may have even been the best thing that happened to him all day, week, month. And I'm saying that picturing if someone had done that for me, a young person, no holds barred, wildly dancing in front of my car for zero apparent reasons, and then just quietly moving over and not saying a word. But you know, either way, this story has continued to provide me belly laughs and jolly tears every time I've thought on it since about 1990 when it happened. If you feel internally that you've got some important things to contribute to this world and you want to get that conversation started with yourself or further it, here are some questions that you can ask yourself to start the ball rolling. If you are listening on the podcast, you may want to pause and get a notebook out, or you can just let them percolate now and possibly replay it when you have a bit of space for journaling. We are 44 minutes in right now. If you're listening on Voice of Vashon, know that, as always, the episode is archived on the Voice of Vashon website, so you can listen to it again. You can also tune in wherever you get your podcasts. Just search the Own Your Intuition show with me, Aimée Cartier. Here are your questions. What have I noticed falling apart within society? Are there any actions that I need to take in order to align with what I feel is whole, best right now? In what ways have the last 2 years changed me? What things are rising to the surface as important to me right now? What actions occur to me to take? What insights seem really obvious to me, or causes do I feel passionate about? What can I do with my insight to contribute to this whole? If you are a disruptor or a benevolent radical or care deeply for this world, if you've got visions, ideas, solutions, please put them into play. No matter how much courage they take or how much they cause you to raise your hand and say what no one else seems to be seeing or saying, or start a conversation and keep it going, find your allies, as Kim says. We need each other. Do your thing. Even if some people look at you with scrunched up faces when you tell them what you are doing, or you anticipate they will. Be okay with dancing in the road crazily and making mistakes as you go. Infinite possibilities, friends. Infinite possibilities. It takes us all. This is Aimée Cartier, and you have been listening to the Own Your Intuition show. Whoop, whoop! Thanks for sticking it out with me on this wild ride. If you loved what you heard, please share it with your friends, especially your radical, benevolent friends and coworkers. Star it where you get your podcasts, if you would, so that others can find it too. I'd love to hear what moved you, so please feel free to reach out. I'm on Instagram at Aimée Cartier, or you can send a comment through my website, aimeecartier.com. As always, I've got some freebies for you. My free audio entitled, What is Intuition? How to Tell the Difference Between the Voice of Your Intuition and Your Fear-Based Ideas. And for empaths, my 44 Signs You Are an Empath download, or my new offering called Empath, How to Tell if What You Feel Belongs to You. And of course, a new on-demand course, not free, but not expensive, called Empath Core Tools Programs. And these links and more in today's show notes. See you soon.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.